The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
On the spine, this is it, Tony Hawk. I'm getting on my grind. Trying to be the greatest, not the only.
Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
Brady gonna run for it.
I've just dropped the ball, dropping the mic.
Come together like a compilation. If they count no me, then I hate to keep them waiting. Let's go.
Like, I don't leave anything half-assed. I leave it with everything that I have.
I'm next to the wall, but they count no me.
Tom Brady coming back for a 23rd season, but there's not much left for TB12 to accomplish. He's already rewritten the record books with most championships, playoff wins, touchdown passes, and passing yards in NFL history. So that's what Brady's already done. What's he going to do next? We have news on that front coming as we welcome you here to NFL Live. Luke Kuechly is back again today. The most tackles in the NFL from 2012 to 2019. Glad to have you here today, Luke. And we've also got Marcus Spears and Jeff Darlington. So a lot to get to, guys. Lots of defense today, okay? Let's begin with you, though, Jeff. We'll get these defensive guys back in. Marcus loves it. Let's start with free agency, which started 2 months ago. The NFL draft has come and gone. And perhaps the biggest name still out there, wide receiver Jarvis Landry. So, Jeff, what do we know about teams that are still in and others that may be out when it comes to Jarvis Landry in 2022?
Well, perhaps, Laura, that the most important thing here is the team that feels like it's out, and that is the Cleveland Browns. And I know that's probably not a surprise to many because he obviously is not a part of the team right now, but this was a scenario where there was some expectation that maybe he would revisit with a new contract. The other contract that he had with the Browns just wasn't palatable, so there was a thought that that could happen. It does not feel like it is headed that direction. Instead, with the Browns addressing the wide receiver position in the draft, drafting David Bell in the third round, a guy who can play that slot position. So instead, we're probably looking at, you know, a little bit of time before Landry ultimately signs. Teams will reset after the draft and sort of figure out exactly what they need from a wide receiver. But certainly some teams that will be interested in Landry.
Yeah, can you give us a couple of those teams, Jeff? Anybody we should really be looking out for that might want to land him?
Well, no doubt the most notable one right now, the one with the most buzz, is the Baltimore Ravens. We know that Marquise Brown left for Arizona. Jarvis Landry would seemingly fit well into that system, a team that obviously needs wide receivers and depth at the position. So for now, that's the one we're focused on. It doesn't mean that others won't enter the fray. But again, Jarvis Landry coming off of perhaps a career low in terms of production and stats, but only 2 years removed from a year in which he was an extremely effective wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, good point. More from Jeff coming. We got some more news to get to today. Luke, what do you think? Would Landry make sense in that Ravens offense?
Well, I think when you look at a guy like Jarvis, his ability to dominate the middle of the field, what Lamar did in 2019, his MVP year, was all about the middle of the field. And as a defender, especially a linebacker, in the middle portion of the field, when you compare a guy like Mark Andrews with Jarvis Landry, the ability for them to create layers in the defense and throwing lanes for the quarterback, especially when you're going to see all the single high defenses that Baltimore does with their ability to run the ball, I think it makes a ton of sense. A smart, intellectual guy that can sit down in holes and provide an easy target for Lamar Jackson. I think it makes a ton of sense.
Ooh, like it.
Skywalker coming out with the
Skywalker.
Hot takes, baby. I love it.
Listen,
Yeah. That's the nickname, Boogie. You know I'm nicknaming.
No, I love it. I just want to establish it.
But listen. Oh, there we go. There we go. He makes a great point about Jarvis and some other things too. We know Lamar likes to improvise. Jarvis understands how to get open after plays break down, which is vitally important within the construct of this offense and how Lamar plays football. Another thing, think about Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin. He's in the same vein, tough, physical. You would almost say that he's already has the MO of a guy that plays for the Baltimore Ravens with how he blocks downfield, because you know this is to be a heavy run-based football team. That's important going forward as well. And two, to pair up with a young receiver that they drafted in Rashad Bateman to try to push him along and give him some of that veteran presence, too. I think it'll be a home run if they get Jarvis Landry.
So, Luke, Dan Orlovsky's been preaching all offseason. He sees the Ravens using more 13 personnel this season, that basically one running back, three tight ends, and a wide receiver. What do you make of that as a defender? You think about what that offense may actually look like.
Well, I think 13 personnel gives defenses a big problem in the sense that they can line up in traditional 13 personnel and play power football and smash, but also they can line up in 11 personnel looks. So it's 13 personnel bodies, 11 personnel looks. It kind of gives the defense problems. How do you treat it? Do you treat it as a nickel defense? Do you treat it as a base defense? But I think at the end of the day, if they're going to line up and play traditional 13 football, you can get into single high defenses. You can pressure play man coverage. And if they do keep tight ends in to protect and take downfield shots with that man coverage, you can really add in and get additional blitzers at the quarterback. And a guy like Lamar, the more guys you can get going at him in organized rush lanes, the less area he has to escape. And I think that's a big deal when you're playing a guy like Lamar.
Yeah, Luke, I think that's the point. The point that you made from a defensive standpoint, it takes a lot of thinking out of the game until, to your point, Luke, when you go 11 personnel with one back, one tight end, and you spread out those big bodies, and then they create those mismatches with guys trying to guard them that don't have the size of stature. You were one of those linebackers that could not only run with tight ends, but also have the body type. UNTD Thomas Davis, who you play with, could defend those guys from a physicality standpoint. But to your point, like as a defensive lineman, if the Baltimore Ravens are going to line up at 13 personnel, it's only so many plays you can have come out of that. The difficulty is the guy that they have at quarterback adding that extra element with his legs.
All right, I'm waiting for a tweet from Lamar saying he wants Landry to come join him. Also, by the way, we've got the early nickname Skywalker from Marcus for Luke. We were waiting to see what it would be. The staff favorite was Cool Hand Luke. So I guess we were wrong. We should have gone with Skywalker, but we'll see if we got time to change.
Skywalker.
Listen, besides Jarvis Landry, questions are still looming when it comes to Baker Mayfield. After a contentious offseason between the Browns and Baker, nothing's changed. The Browns owe him a lot of money this season. It's almost $19 million on this contract. That's the last year of his contract. So, Jeff, what's the likely option for the future between these two?
Well, you know, the real bridge here was the NFL draft. If he didn't get unloaded by then, the situation became much more complicated because ultimately that was when the teams were deciding whether to draft these players or not. And ultimately we saw a lot of the teams do just that. The Browns are still on the hook for $18.9 million this coming season. Until they decide to take on a big chunk of that, leaving other teams to take on Mayfield for less than the $18.9 million that's currently expected, it's just not going to happen. Teams aren't willing to do it. So this could drag out for some time until the Browns ultimately decide that they're ready to move on. The idea, though, that Baker Mayfield will be on this roster this season as a potential insurance plan, I've floated that to several people around the league. Nobody thinks that that's a palatable option. I still don't anticipate that. Eventually, Baker Mayfield will either get traded or released.
Yeah, that's an interesting clarification. Reminder, they did sign Jacoby Brissett and, of course, Deshaun Watson, waiting for more news there. You know, Luke, one of the things you're known for, great play, but also your great presence in the locker room. I want to address that. If there is a situation here where Baker Mayfield is in that Browns locker room later this summer, we're not saying he plays for them next season, but if this kind of drags out, as Jeff's saying, how do you expect teammates to react to him?
Well, I think the biggest thing is everybody understands the business side of football. They understand that we need the best guy in this team to win and get us to where we want to, which ultimately is a Super Bowl. But the elephant's still in the room with, they understand that Baker's not going to be there during the season.
Yeah.
He's going to be in there. He doesn't have the voice that you typically would as a quarterback because now Deshaun's in. They brought in Jacoby Brissett to be the heir apparent backup. So if you're Baker, you're sitting in there, and what he's trying to figure out what's the timeline for my decision. But at the end of the day, if you're Baker and you're the competitor that everybody thinks Baker is, you got to put your best foot forward because regardless of what happens in Cleveland, there's all these teams, there's 31 other teams that are potentially looking for a starting quarterback. And if you put your best foot forward in OTAs and everybody talks about how well you handled the situation, it only bodes well for them.
And that's the point. That's the point, Skywalker. At the end, what you made where he's auditioning for other franchises and organizations. And to Jeff's point, like, it's over. okay? Everybody relax. Baker Mayfield will not be in Cleveland. We can keep having these scenarios about him going, he going to come in and he going to be a good soldier and be a part. He's not going to play for the Cleveland Browns. The other thing is, how do we get from Baker Mayfield having a damn boulder the size of Mount Everest on his shoulder to him coming now and being the third quarterback technically on this roster with the signing of Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett? That was the insurance. The backup is Jacoby Brissett, everybody, America. On NFL Live, we telling y'all, the backup in Cleveland is Jacoby Brissett. They will find or figure out a way to either unload Baker, as Skywalker said, or Baker Mayfield will eventually get traded to a team that becomes dumb and quarterback needy once camp happens and they realize they do not have a guy on this roster that they feel good about.
Yeah.
That is how the scenario gonna play out. Stop asking us about it. It's over.
No, I think it's a really good point in the sense that, like, we're living in the moment right now, but camp still has to happen. There's so many things that can reveal some needs on some of these teams. Guys, we are just getting started on NFL Live, and next, we shift our focus to New Orleans. Jameis Winston will be back under center for the Saints, but he won't have Sean Payton. Luke will tell you why Jameis has the shortest memory of any QB he's played against. How does a Payton absence affect him? The 2013 Defensive Player of the Year, that would be Luke. He knows a thing or two about great linebacker play. He's handing out superlatives. Find out who tops his list as the best linebacker in the game right now. NFL Live is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Who do you feel presents the toughest challenge for you?
Some good D-backs, man. Probably Xavier Howard from the Miami Dolphins. He's real good. Jalen Ramsey is at the top. Chris Harris from the Chargers. Trey White from the Buffalo Bills. Guys like that, man. It's a lot of guys.
In the match against the Buffalo Bills, 13 seconds left. What's the conversation in that huddle?
Pat, Kelsey, and Coach Reed got this special play that we did against the Dallas Cowboys a few years ago. It's called Hail Mary.
You go, it's here, and you come in across.
Yeah. Yes. Kelsey was just telling me, hey, look, follow behind my big body, and I got you. Next thing you know, we lining up to kick a field goal to tie the game.
So good. By the way, you can catch Tyreek Hill on the season 6 premiere of Kevin Hart's Cold as Balls tomorrow on the LOL YouTube Network channel. LOL Network YouTube channel. Sorry, I got distracted by Cold as Balls. Marcus, what's the weirdest interview location as a player for you? Oh, no, we lost him. All right, Luke, I'll ask you that question. Weirdest location you ever did an interview?
Well, I don't know how they were able to talk that succinctly in the cold tub. He was up to his chest in ice. I don't
Kevin
know how
Hart
he was able
like
to handle
up here,
that.
But Tyreek's all the way down here with the cold tub.
They did a good job. I don't know how they held it together. That water is cold, and I don't know how they held it together that well.
Gives me the willies, Marcus.
Thank you for being a professional, Skywalker. Thank you for being a professional. Boogie, fresh out the shower with a towel wrapped around me. It was very uncomfortable. But they had to get their answers before the time slot that was allotted for the media to get out of there. So they came to me, and I gave the interview right there with my soap, my rag, and a towel wrapped around.
Sure did. You know what? I've done some of those interviews. All right, let's get back to football. To New Orleans, where the Saints have Jameis Winston back as QB1. They'll be without Sean Payton, a fixture with this New Orleans team, of course, by far the winningest coach in Saints history. Dennis Allen taking over as head coach. So how does that affect Jameis? Well, Jameis Winston had his first season as the Saints starting quarterback cut short due to injury, of course, but there was clearly a difference in his play compared to his years in Tampa Bay. In his 7 starts, Winston posted a career high in touchdown to interception ratio, recorded a career low in air yards per attempt. It's interesting, while also averaging his longest time to throw, meaning he didn't feel the need to air it out all the time, even when he had the time to. So Luke, Jameis is a guy that you played against a bunch when he was with Tampa, different play style. How has his game evolved since heading to the Saints?
I think you look at what he saw with Drew Brees. Drew Brees said, hey, we've got opportunities to take deep shots, but we also have opportunities underneath. And there's two guys on that Saints roster that make everything very easy for a quarterback. You look at Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, they're just the definition of easy throws. And the one thing that Drew did extremely well when he was there that I'm sure Jameis picked up on was throwing checkdowns. And when you have a guy like Alvin Kamara that creates as much problems in space as he does, it makes more sense to, hey, I'm going to check the ball down. I'm going to force these linebackers to make tackles. The more you do that, the more the linebackers come down to get closer to the check down, and then everything behind it opens up. So it's just a process with Jameis. And even though Sean Payton's gone, Pete Carmichael's been there forever. He's going to step in. The offense is going to stay the same. The game flow potentially could change a little bit with a new OC calling it, but Jameis is in a great situation. Played behind Drew, same offense, gets Michael Thomas back, and then has Alvin Kamara, easy check down blanket that can turn small things into big plays.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And that the critical part is about Carmichael. And I don't want anybody to get it twisted that Sean Payton and Jameis Winston are not still in communication about playing the quarterback position. I know that to be true with these guys because of their relationship that they have and how well Jameis was trending under Sean Payton. But ultimately, what Luke got to was the psychology of Jameis Winston, right? It was always a home run ball. That's what he wanted to do. Every time he dropped back, in a five-step drop, he wanted to throw the ball 60 to 70 yards downfield and show off what he could do. Can he do it? Yes, absolutely, because we always talk about within that 30-interception season, he also threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns as well. That is harder to do than probably do anything else more successfully. So ultimately, what Jameis did from a psychology standpoint is just calm himself and play the position and take what's been given to him.
Yeah, Luke, so it's interesting. From your perspective, is it harder to defend the old Jameis who left defense never knowing exactly what was coming their way, or this new Jameis who seems to be playing more within the system in New Orleans?
Well, I think with Jameis now, it's you know what to expect versus in the past when I played against him. You might get a ball thrown right at you. Right. You might have an opportunity for for an interception. But also, the thing that I credit him the most for is how short his memory was. Mm. We played him multiple times where he would throw three interceptions early in the game. You'd think he'd be out. And then he had that mindset that Marcus talked about where he can just throw home run after throw home run after home run. And start the game, zero touchdowns, three picks. End the game, four touchdowns, three picks, and go out and win it. So I give the guy a lot of credit. He's ultra, ultra competitive. The guys in the locker room love him. And then after 2 years with Drew, or a year with Drew, I think he's learned a lot.
And you know what else is important, and Skywalker Boogie could tell you this. Last year, I was on Jameis Winston having a resurgence. And it's because Jameis Winston not only humbled himself, but he loves playing football. And that's something you brought up when we were talking in the meeting, and I think everybody needs to understand the type of work that he puts in to be good at the spot. You could see the frustration continue to mount and mount when he was in Tampa, and he was having difficulties taking care of the football, and it almost looked like a relief when he got to New Orleans. He didn't have any pressure on him but to sit back, watch, and learn from obviously Drew and Sean Payton. But more importantly, like his mindset in saying, I'm going to take a step back to become a really good quarterback and hopefully ascend to a great one, I think should be commended. And that is why I think Jameis is going to have a phenomenal year this year as well and make the Saints a contender in the NFC.
One more quick look back to the Bucs with Jameis. In his five seasons with the Buccaneers, he threw 88 interceptions. That's 12 more than any other quarterback during that span. But two of those 88 came from somebody on this set, and that would be Luke Kuechly picking him off. There you go, Luke. Good job. All right. So this guy took over, though, in Tampa Bay. That would be Tom Brady. Big news today, though, on Brady's future. The New York Post learned that Brady is going to have a 10-year, $375 million deal to join Fox Sports as a lead NFL analyst once he retires. So joining Fox for Tom Brady, Jeff Darlington back with us. And, Jeff, you and Adam Schefter broke the news of Brady's initial retirement back in January. What more can you tell us about Brady's decision to ultimately land in the broadcast booth whenever he finally does decide to call it quits for good?
Well, Laura, it's interesting you bring up that mention of retirement several months ago, because at that point, this was not necessarily in the cards. Being an NFL analyst wasn't something that Tom Brady had really been aspiring to. All of a sudden, this offseason, of course, the money shot up and the offer became something that when he thinks about after his career, obviously he wants to find happiness, but he also wants to be challenged. Likes the idea of staying within the game. And number four, he wants to make money. So this actually allows him to do all of those things. Tom Brady still has a number of side projects that he enjoys, whether it's, I mean, he's got production companies and Religion of Sports and Shadow Lion, all sorts of things he'd like to continue to do. And with this job, he can do that. When that time comes, we of course shouldn't put a bookmark on this because we don't know exactly when Brady will retire. But when he does, he'll be calling football games.
There you go. 10 years, $375 million. Also, a reminder that each of the last four times that Tom Brady has lost in the playoffs, he won the Super Bowl the following season. So maybe a little foreshadowing there based on history. How do you stop a Super Bowl champion quarterback, by the way? Well, Luke and Marcus have their game plans ready. They tell us how defenses can slow down the big three of Rodgers, Stafford, and, of course, Tom Brady. That's next on NFL Live. Keep it right here.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, so three former Super Bowl winners in the NFC. Let's talk about a little bit quarterbacks here and get our defensive perspectives on NFL Live. Each of these guys has their own unique set of skills, right? Make for some sleepless nights for defenders. So let's give them the recipe for success. Diving in deeper on each of the three, Brady, Rodgers, and Stafford, talking about how you want to prepare in the week leading up to each matchup. So let's start with Tom Brady. Didn't show many weaknesses on the field last season, but if there was an area he struggled in, it was his accuracy outside the pocket. Brady ranked 27th in completion percentage, 30th in off-target percentage on passes outside the pocket. The only problem for his opponents was he had just 24 such attempts, the fewest of any qualifying quarterback. He knows his weaknesses, right? But the stats say that is where you might be able to take advantage of Brady. So, Luke, when you guys had Brady on the schedule, what were the conversations in the lead-up in the game as you're in your defensive rooms trying to figure out what to do?
Not making things easy for him. He's the king of pre-snap information. He's going to gather as much information as he can pre-snap. He's going to change stuff. He's going to get guys aligned where he wants them, and then he's going to snap the ball. And by the time he snaps the ball, he's got everything he needs. So if you look at this first play right here, we had a rotation call. We brought a guy down to the tight end too early, and as this play continues, he brought Chris Hogan down to block our rotational safety right there, and then he brought the motion across to pull the nickel out of the fit. And what he did is he did the best way he could do it was to get the ball in the corner as quickly as he could. From the end zone, it's a better look. Down block on rotation, you put the running back on the corner as quick as you can and get the ball in the end zone. So it's simple when you think about it, but Brady saw rotation pre-snap. He brought the guys in where he needed to. He got a blocker on rotational safety and put the ball in the corner as quickly as he could. So for me, it's don't show him stuff too quickly, because the moment he has it in his head, you're done.
Oh, man. Well, Tom Brady. Go ahead, Marcus.
Boogie Skywalker had that run like a lot of us have. Damn, it's over before the damn play even starts. That's that little trot, knowing that you ain't going to make no play because Tom Brady done already figured out how your defense is going to be beat in the pre-snap. But go ahead. What you were saying, Boogie?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you got to, like, at least pretend like you're running, right? I mean, you were running decently fast at that point.
I wasn't getting
there. Things were over. Yeah. You weren't going to get there. All right, let's continue on with another one of these quarterbacks. Oh, excuse me. Marcus, you go ahead on Brady and just your thoughts on what you just heard.
Yeah, let me do my thing. No, I 100% agree. The pre-snap is what you was deathly with him at quarterback. But ultimately, I believe the people that really changes games when Tom Brady is at quarterback is the defensive line. Mm. And it's not just about having great rushers. You need them. Cam Jordan and the New Orleans Saints do as good of a job against the Tampa Bay offensive line than anybody in the NFL. And it's because they're never out of position. They're always covering for each other. And when they get those one-on-one opportunities, and we know how great Cam Jordan is, but he's a guy that helps facilitate for other guys around him. And not only that, you got to take away quick access throws. Tom Brady also beat you by using backs, like we've talked about before, getting the ball out of his hands quick to tight ends. So getting your hands up and trying to bat balls, but also your linebackers being able to come down early and make him hold it for another half a second in order for the rush to get home.
Let's continue with our recipe for defense of these Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers coming off back-to-back MVP seasons, but he did have one glaring weakness last season. That was pressure. Rodgers ranked near the bottom of the league in both QBR and completion percentage when pressured last season, averaged the fewest yards per attempt. However, getting to Rodgers was easier said than done as he averaged the fourth fastest time to throw. The theme here is that these guys are so good they figure out how to overcome whatever their issue is, but Marcus, how did your Cowboys team try to put Rodgers in difficult spots when you played against him?
As difficult as it was and is, you try to keep him in the pocket. I don't think Aaron Rodgers gets enough credit for his ability to extend plays. And not only extend plays, but they are usually touchdowns or 50-yard plays. I played for the Dallas Cowboys. I've been on the other end of devastation from Aaron Rodgers being able to go underneath and out and then make a play, not only with his arms and legs. I think that's where the frustration came from when he didn't opt to run against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoff in the NFC Championship. But his ability to extend plays, his athleticism, is a very underrated trait of who he is as a quarterback. So we tried to keep him in the pocket and try to die a slow death as opposed to dying a fast one.
So, Luke, what does Rodgers do that makes him so hard to game plan against him?
The hard count for me with Aaron Rodgers is the most difficult thing, and he does such a good job specifically on third down. You get a third and short window, he's going to get a free first down just on a hard count. You look at this play right here. This is the first third down of the game. We went in all week talking about it. I jump off sides, free play. He takes a shot downfield. Obviously some frustration there, and then as this play goes on, two plays later, touchdown. So you get to the sideline, you can be as mad as you want at everybody in the secondary, but you know, if I don't jump off sides, then that series is over, we're off the field. So that's the most frustrating thing about Aaron Rodgers is, you know that hard count's coming, you know it's coming, it's the first third down of the game, and I still jump, and it leads to a touchdown. So it's frustrating, but that's why he's one of the best at it, because he can
hit
it.
What?
Boogie, something just happened on this show that does not happen with Dan Orlovsky. You see how defensive players take ownership of their mistakes?
I was about to say.
You see how we call ourselves out?
100%.
Appreciate it, Skywalker.
Listen,
I got you.
Here's the thing. I mean, yesterday we're showing Luke getting mossed by Julio Jones. Now we've got this out there. Luke is just fitting right into the vibe here, taking accountability. Marcus, did Rodgers ever get you like that?
He never got him. I bet he never got you, Marcus.
He never got me, but it was because it was so good. It was because my ball get off was so slow. I wasn't no pass rusher. I was a two-gapper.
There you go.
I stopped the run.
There you go. Tell him. All right, so last season, as we get to Matthew Stafford, the third QB on our list, he led the league in QBR against the blitz, ranked second in QBR when kept clean. But when teams were able to pressure Stafford without blitzing him, his numbers saw a significant drop, ranking 24th amongst qualifying quarterbacks. And the good thing for Stafford, though, is he played behind one of the league's best offensive lines. The Rams ranked first in pass block win rate last season. That's a big part of it. But, of course, this version of Stafford comes with Sean McVay calling plays for him. But, Luke, how should a defense prepare for a matchup with that duo, that McVay and Stafford duo?
It's a tricky offense because how the offense is set up. Hmm. It's set up to put your eyes in positions where they shouldn't be as a defender. As a defender, you have all these pre-snap reads, these pre-snap cues. This is where I'm putting my eyes. And then right before the ball is snapped, they send a guy across the formation, and it gets you looking where you shouldn't be looking. Hmm. And the mindset of a defender's got to be, it's not where he is pre-snap, it's where he's going. And the moment you can get to where he's going, you can get set up and you can put your eyes in the right spot. And this is a perfect example. They line up in a 3x1 set. They go zoom motion to 2x2. And just based on the chaos before the ball snapped, it gets guys out of position and makes easy throws. Stafford can make all the throws, but if you ask him, he's going to take every easy throw he can get. And that's why I think that combination is so good.
Hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Don't be window shopping when you're walking down the street with your lady. That's what Matt Stafford wants you to do. Listen, the other thing is this. The other thing is this about Matthew Stafford, and I think when he came to Los Angeles, this is why I was so excited. He's a matchup exploiter, okay? Mm. I played against him. We had a 25-point lead on him when I was in Dallas, and he just said Calvin Johnson, and obviously we know what CJ was, but he said, I'm about to exploit a matchup. You look at the Rams in the playoff series, when it had to be had, when you had to have it, he knew exactly what he was going to do and where he was going. It was Cooper Kupp. He exploited matchups early in the Super Bowl with Odell Beckham Jr. But also, don't ever think that it's over with Matthew Stafford. That is the biggest mistake you can make. That's a mistake a lot of teams made when he was in Detroit on bad football teams, and you ended up walking out of there with an L. And yes, I was a part of a defense that thought it was over because we had a big lead, and he was able to overcome that. That is his best trait. His best characteristic and best trait is the fact that Matthew Stafford never feels like he can't make a throw or a few plays to get his team back in the game or win it. And that's just, everybody wants to talk like they have that trait. A lot of guys don't. He does. He lives it for real.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see the Rams' full schedule on Thursday when it's all released. Of course, we have a special here on ESPN at ESPN2 at 8 p.m. Eastern. I want to know, what does that schedule look like, these Super Bowl champs trying to repeat? All right, this new one, NFL Live, guys. We knew that Kayvon Thibodeau wanted number 5. Adam Schefter tweeting, to get the number 5 from veteran kicker Graham Gano, Giants first-round pick Kayvon Thibodeau donated $50,000 to Puppies Behind Bars. That's it provides service dogs for wounded war veterans and first responders, in addition to explosive detection canines for law enforcement. Incredible cause that is close to Graham Gano's heart, and Thibodeau got his number 5. All right, lots more coming your way here on NFL Live. We may be in the offseason. That does not stop us from having a new segment. Swagoo, is the bank still open?
Yes, speaking of donations from Kayvon Thibodeau to get the number 5, we're going to talk about the next player that's got to get that bag. Woo! Yeah, I thought of it, but my team said we going to do it, so I'm going to let y'all know who deserves that bag when we come back.
Thought I was nearing the finish line. That's where you wrong.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We already got a little taste of the 2022 NFL schedule, but Thursday we'll have the whole thing with our NFL schedule release show at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. The NFL Network will also have coverage. I'll be hosting, along with Teddy Bruschi, Damian Woody, and Adam Schefter, special guests Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, our Monday Night Football crew. We'll take you through each team's schedule. We'll talk about the biggest matchups. This is a 2-hour special. Do not miss it on Thursday. And today the NFL announced another big game for the 2022 season with the Rams and Broncos facing off on Christmas Day. That's good news for everyone. Well, everyone except maybe Russell Wilson, who gets to see Aaron Donald in the Rams defense once again. Donald has recorded 17 sacks against Wilson, including the playoffs. That's the third most of any active player against a single quarterback in the NFL. Licking the chops there for Aaron Donald. A handful of games have been officially announced, but Marcus, give us the game you're excited about this season to find out when it's going to be.
Yeah, Boogie, it's the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I got the Chargers winning the AFC West, but everybody's excited about the quarterbacks in this division. But the coming of J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack from Chicago, they signed Sebastian Joseph Day from the Los Angeles Rams. This defense will be revamped. And I believe all of the talk with these quarterbacks, the best defense will determine this division. And right now on paper, I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers.
I can't believe you didn't choose the Cowboys, so I'm going to do it for you. Bengals at Cowboys. This is a rare matchup, guys. The first time since 2016. Cannot wait to see Joe Burrow going to Dallas. Dak Prescott on the other side. Both of these teams, I don't think we're talking enough about the Bengals potentially getting back to the Super Bowl. And, of course, we always know those Cowboys are Super Bowl-minded. Cannot wait to see this game and find out exactly when it's going to be. Going to be a lot of fun, Luke.
So I'm going Bills, Packers. If you look at Green Bay, the obviously storyline this offseason is Devontae Adams. They go get Christian Watson, the second round of the draft. New offensive coordinator. So at that point in the season, it's going to be interesting to see where they're at. But for me, it's really the Bills. Ken Dorsey and I were together in Carolina. He's got a great quarterback that he knows really well. He spent a couple years up in Buffalo with Josh Allen, but I'm just excited for Ken Dorsey to have the opportunity to be an offensive coordinator. I think he's going to do a tremendous job. By that time of the year, they should be pretty settled in on what kind of offense they are.
Luke's already playing to that Bills Mafia crowd, isn't he, Swagoo?
It's a good crowd to play to. They can't stand me, Luke.
From
one week to the next, they can't stand me. They love me, they can't stand me. I love them, though. It's a great relationship. It's dysfunctional, but it's great.
They're one of the most passionate fan bases that you find in the NFL. So, Bills Mafia, we love you, no matter how you feel about us. New segment alert, though, guys. This is going to be so much fun. Mark is about to get that bag. Swagoo, who in the NFL is on the verge of cashing in as you hear the cash coming in off a great 2022 season?
Everybody listen, I talked to one of our producers, my man Marky Mark, Mark Eisman, and I told him, I said, we need a segment called Get That Bag, because there's some dudes that deserves to get paid, and I need to make sure I start putting them on Front Street. So the first one on Get That Bag is my man Jeffrey Simmons from the Tennessee Titans. It's time, Tennessee, it's time to pay the man, or somebody else will, because not only does he defend the run at a very high level, he can get after the quarterback. Listen, the tiers of defensive tackles is this. It's Aaron Donald by himself, and then that second tier, Jeffrey Simmons is squarely in there, along with Chris Jones and some other guys that you know the names of that work the interior of these defensive lines. Jeffrey Simmons has become the staple and the heartbeat of the Tennessee Titans defense, and we all know Vrabel understands how important those guys are. Just one example, okay? This is a loop stunt with Jeffrey Simmons. This is athleticism at a very high level and understanding how to rush. You get an inside pass rush move from the opposite three technique and the defensive end Dupree. Simmons loops around. He keeps it tight as you look at this end zone copy. Look how he scrapes off the edge, not getting whiff, and Matthew Stafford does a Matthew Stafford and throws an interception and almost ends up in a touchdown. I think they did score a touchdown. It's been a lot of football since then. But the first Get That Bag dude is Jeffrey Simmons. Hey, Tennessee, you on the clock, big dog. It's time for the big dog to eat. Back the truck up.
Hey, let's go. All right, by the way, this is going to happen weekly, so find out who's going to get that bag next week with Swagoo. We love it. Let's see when he puts himself on there. All right, anyway, next on NFL Live, Luke is going to hand out his superlatives for the best linebackers in the league. Who do you think's the best at pressuring the quarterback or dropping back in coverage? Also, find out who tops his list as the best linebacker. Here's a little hint. I think Marcus Spears is going to like it. He's going to like it a lot. We'll be right back.
His career is Hall of Fame worthy. He'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Intercepted. Luke Kuechly scores a touchdown.
See how active he is in his communication and leadership on that side of the ball.
Let's be some dogs now. Let's be some dogs.
No Dan Kuechly. That man's a tackling machine.
He just has a knack for knowing where the ball's going to be.
Kuechly has the interception.
Luke, you are the best middle linebacker in the whole wide world.
Cross over, you getting crushed. I'm in command.
Hey, pretty good at what you do.
The utmost highest respect throughout the league.
In Luke Kuechly's 8 seasons in the NFL, he earned first-team All-Pro honors 5 times. He's one of just 6 linebackers to reach that mark through a player's first 8 seasons since the merger in 1970. The only player with more such selections, Lawrence Taylor. My goodness. By the way, another nickname I'm going to throw out there, Keek the Freak. Like, what are we doing? That should be what it is. I know we're calling you Skywalker, but anyway, who better to give us linebacker superlatives than Luke Kuechly himself? Let's go through some of these. We're going to start with which linebacker is the best field general.
We got a good group right here. We got a group of old guys, young guys, but the first guy we're going to start with is Bobby Wagner, a guy that I came in with in the league in 2012. Bobby's seen everything. He's been an all-pro. He's been a pro bowler. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl, and he's been on great defenses. That Legion of Boom that he was part of early in his career was unbelievable. He can get guys lined up. He's smart. He's intelligent, and he's still got plenty of tread left to play. So he's my guy, best field general in the NFL. Next guy, another guy that I came in with, Lavonte David. The thing that makes him really good and separates him, obviously smart, intelligent, athletic ability, and transition point at the top of routes. There's a lot of guys that understand the game. They understand route concepts, depth. But the guys that are really special are guys that are able to transition at the top of the routes and make plays on the football. Lavonte's the king of that. He's super athletic, great feel, my top coverage linebacker. The next guy, easy selection, Darius Leonard. Darius Leonard, the thing that separates him, number one, effort. Number two, length. The guy's length is off the chain. If you look at him when he's playing, his arms are so long, and there's a certain aspect of creating turnover that's unique to somebody. He's got it. Peanut Tillman had it. But Darius Leonard's always looking the punch. He's always looking the rip, and he's a guy that can rush as well as pick the ball up. But Darius Leonard, the guy around the ball, always punching out, that extreme length he has is awesome. Run stopper, I give that to Fred Warner. His ability pre-snap to gather information, a lot like the quarterbacks that we talked about, is what separates him. From where he lines up to his initial keys to how fast he triggers and gets downhill, that's a guy that I think is super impressive. I like his game a lot. Prototype size, speed, and man, he's the leader of that defense. And when he plays, he just has fun. And that's cool for me to see. And the last one, a young guy down in Dallas. Woo! Micah Parsons, 13 sacks last year as a rookie. And he's a problem because he can line up everywhere. He can line up off the ball. He can line up on the edge. He can line up inside as a pass rusher. But he wins with so many things. But the number one thing he wins with is pure power, speed, and athletic ability. And he's a hard guy to block because he can bend, he can chase, and he's not just an old school power. He doesn't need games to set up his success. He can win with athletic ability, speed, and power, and he's only going to get better as an off-the-ball backer.
I love your list.
Yeah, it's great.
Great superlatives. He goes, yeah, it's great. It's my list. Marcus, just 1 year into his career, is Luke right that Micah Parsons the best in the league at rushing the quarterback?
Yeah, out of all of the linebackers, absolutely. And who the hell am I to disagree with a list that Luke Kuechly just made about linebackers, okay? Listen, this is – you guys know, I talked about Micah Parsons and everybody thought it was the Dallas Cowboy thing. No, it's rare. He has a rare ability to be wherever you want him to be and be productive and make plays, game-changing type plays. And obviously, he's a young player. There's some things – that he still needs to grow and mature with. The one dude that wasn't on the list that I think is going to eventually be on Luke's list, or a guy that really covers a lot of the things that you talked about, superlatives within all of these other linebackers, is Devin White for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe his coverage ability is phenomenal. His blitzing is phenomenal. He did it at LSU, continued to do it in Tampa Bay. And not only that, a relentless pursuit to the football, which that man Skywalker standing next to you did as well as anybody I've ever seen do at the linebacker position. So that's a dude that I think eventually makes Skywalker's list.
Hey, back to Parsons for a second here, though, Marcus, because obviously he's coming off winning Defensive Rookie of the Year award last year. If he were to go on to win NFL Defensive Player of the Year this season, he would be the first to win those two awards in back-to-back seasons since who?
Skywalker.
That's my nickname.
I thought we were going to stump him there for a second. I also
it
was pretty obvious. But, yeah, exactly. So he could make some history doing it for the first time since you did it, Luke. All right, we got time for one more thing before we go, guys. NFL on CBS posts this question on Twitter. They said if the NFL announced an expansion team, the city that most deserves it. Well, Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson jumped in, tweeted that his answer is Dallas, Texas. Of course, he argues that Dallas is the largest U.S. metro without two teams, that the city would be able to sustain two NFL teams better than New York or LA. Marcus, you're huffing and puffing over there. You want another team in Dallas? Is there room?
That town ain't big enough for two of us, okay? It's only one. It will only always be one, and it'll never change. Matter of fact, I'm almost sure that they told the mayor to put his resignation papers together based on that, what he talked about, two teams in Dallas.
Hey,
no siree, Bob.
Maybe you're going to be the new mayor then if he resigned. Luke, thank you so much for being with us these last couple days. It was a blast to have you here. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And can't wait to see everybody on NFL Live tomorrow. We'll see you then.